This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dan Henniger, who writes Wonderland for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's the deputy editor of the editorial page. Observing the president's embassy to Europe, especially the meeting with the G7. Once upon a time, allies in the struggle of the 20th century, now aligned because these are the richest nations. And the richest nations had much to say about global taxes, about climate change, and about common defense. But what Dan found most compelling is that in a conversation with the president of France, Mr. Macron, the president of the United States heard the word club, as in welcome back to the club. Dan, a very good evening to you. Your interpretation of the club, please. What do you hear in President Macron's language? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, the conventional wisdom is that President Macron was welcoming President Biden back to the club of multilateralism and doing deals and doing diplomacy. But I chose to put it in a much larger context, which is to say the context from which Joe Biden departed when he left the United States, which is that the main thing Joe Biden is doing today is trying to preside over the passage in Congress of the greatest spending bills since LBJ's Great Society. He's proposing the creation of at least four more entitlements. And I thought to myself, gee, the club that the French president is actually welcoming Joe Biden to is the welfare state, the European welfare state, which has been in existence since 1945. That's the real club that he's talking about, the cradle-to-grave entitlements that the French, the Germans, the Italians, the rest of them have provided their populations for, you know, several generations. And Joe Biden is looking cheerful because that is the club to which he bids to gain entry, not just for himself, but for all Americans. And therein, John, I think lies a lot of peril.
The classmate of mine from seminary days who returned to Germany from Cologne, I was always struck. She was a teacher, a Roman Catholic teacher for her career. I was always struck in correspondence with her over the many years, including 9/11, when I spoke with her about Germany's response to the attack on America. I was always struck about how she changed jobs and she was very lucky in life and also is now retired, very lucky in life. I always puzzled how there was never any anxiety. There was always another job, a better posting, a moving around in her neighborhood. And it was happy. And yet it wasn't until I learned that everybody in Germany can enjoy similar fruits that I understand the scale of the welfare state. But Dan, Germany's reputation is one of profit seeking, of manufacturing for the world. These two things don't, in my mind, go together. How does Germany make it work? And can we make such a thing work?
Well, I don't think we can. I mean, look, the United States is an extraordinarily prosperous. It's the world's most prosperous economy. But I think the big difference is, and I've always kind of felt this for a long time, Germany's turn, and God knows Germany after World War II, but the rest of the European nations, the turn towards rebuilding and perfecting the welfare state. Look, this is a continent that experienced on its soil both World War I and World War II. In fairly close proximity. And I think the continent emerged from World War II in a state of exhaustion, quite frankly. And so they went about kind of rebuilding what they thought would be a perfect society for their citizens. Left out just one thing, though, John, and that was the ability to defend themselves from external aggressors. And so defense spending in Europe has fallen down to next to nothing over the years. Meanwhile, the United States provided the security umbrella for them and for the rest of the world because we didn't let our defense spending fall back like that. And that, I think, is what's on the table in front of us. Joe Biden in his budget purports an increase for defense of 1.6%, which after inflation is actually a cut. And if the United States continues on the path that Joe Biden is trotting right now, which is towards a European-style welfare state, our ability to defend ourselves is going to erode. There will be no national security umbrella for the U.S. faced with challenges from China and, indeed, Vladimir Putin and Russia.
The understanding then of these bills in Congress, is the conversation about increasing the social net, the social safety net? Is that the conversation in Washington? Because you mentioned the Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society. That certainly is the remaining aspect of that. But also, Mr. Biden does talk about infrastructure, does talk about improving our living conditions. Is that a false face, Dan? And is that to be set aside for these social welfare programs?
Well, that's the question. The battle has been joined in Washington over the so-called compromise on infrastructure spending. But I think the proper way to understand what's going on is that the so-called infrastructure bill, infrastructure that Republicans are pushing, as we understand it, it has to be joined to what Bernie Sanders and the progressives, Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, see as the more important piece of legislation, which is the Biden entitlements plus spending on climate, child care, and education, which they intend to pile into a so-called reconciliation bill, a kind of all-purpose bill that they can pass with just 50 votes. And that's the tension in Washington right now between a traditional infrastructure bill and this much, much larger social welfare bill that the progressives and most Democrats want to pass. And in the expectation that Joe Biden will be with them when it's time to enact this $6 trillion in spending. And that's the political stakes that are facing us right now in Washington, John. And the thing to keep in mind is these are not just spending bills. These entitlements will be permanent, like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Those that Biden administration and Bernie Sanders are proposing will become permanent claims on America's wealth to the detriment, I think, of the country's ability to defend itself. And obviously, at the moment, we need defending.
You report the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center summarizes the U.S. all tax revenue from all governments in the U.S. as a percentage of the GDP is 24%. And you compare this to seven European nations, the richest nations, at 40%. Is that fact before the American people, Dan? Have you heard that discussed, that this is what we're committing ourselves to, a near, 80-75% increase in tax revenue?
No, I don't think that implication is being made clear to the American people at all. Many Americans, heaven knows, have visited Europe. And what is one of the things that people always do when they're flying out of European airports? They go to get the value-added tax remitted to them, the extraordinarily high value-added tax that Europe has had to impose on its own citizens to sustain that level of spending. And the implications behind the Biden agenda are that there will be higher levels of taxation, not just on the wealthiest, but the middle class going forward as they desperately seek revenue to support these new entitlements.
You recall, Dan, there was a witticism many decades ago that America, observing China, was going to raise it up and up until it was just like Kansas City. It's apocryphal, I don't know, but I always enjoyed that comparison. I wonder, Dan, whether anybody is now joking about raising America up and up until it's just like Alsace-Lorraine. Does anybody talk like that?
Only Bernie Sanders, only Anastasio Ocasio-Cortez and the progressives in Congress. That is, they have always admired the welfare states of Germany, the Scandinavian countries, Sweden. That is what they would like us to become. But the United States has always, John, been led through its history by capitalists, by entrepreneurs. And I think this is the choice that's in front of us right now. I'm confident that the American people will fall back on their entrepreneurial traditions and say, no, we do not want to become Germany or Sweden.
Daniel Henniger, deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.